We have more information on cats this morning based on new research into them in the journals New Scientist and Scientific American. Commenting for us is Dr. Zazie Todd, who has joined us before on Sunday morning answering your questions on both cats and dogs. Zazie's the award-winning author of WAG, The Science of Making Your Dog Happy, and Purr, The Science of Making Your Cat Happy. She writes popular blog Companion Animal Psychology. She co-hosts the Positive Post in Conversation podcast, and she has a column at Psychology Today. She's also a certified dog trainer. Zazie Todd lives in British Columbia with her husband, one dog, and two cats. Good morning, Zazie.
Hello, thank you for having me on the show.
It's great to be able to speak cats, and especially speak cats with you. Now, a question that's top of mind here in New Zealand is if we need to keep our cats inside, especially at night, to stop them killing birds. What are your thoughts on this?
I think keeping cats indoors at night is a really good idea. It's also much safer for the cat. And of course, bird species are in decline around the world, and there are many different causes for it. So it's not just cats catching birds, but we know some recent research showed that it's actually intensive agriculture in the UK and Europe is the main cause of bird decline there. But of course, we don't want our cats catching birds, and cats are very different. Some will catch quite a bit and some will not catch so much. And there are a few things that you can do if your cat is catching birds to kind of reduce the amount that they catch. So obviously, one thing to keep them indoors at night or at dusk and dawn as well. Another thing you can do is get something called a Birds Be Safe collar. It's actually a collar cover that you can put on the cat's collar, and it's really brightly coloured, so birds see the cat coming and they can get out of the way in time. And it doesn't actually affect mice, so your cat will still be catching mice and that kind of thing, but the birds will be able to escape. And there's also some recent research that suggests two things to try, which are in giving your cat extra playtime, especially like playtime with a wand toy, because that engages their predatory sequence and lets them use their hunting behaviours. And also, if you feed them a high protein diet, that's been found to reduce the amount of prey that cats actually catch. So I think that's really interesting. We need more research in it, but those are all things that people can do.
Now, I know in Canada you have the same issue with maybe 4 million wild cats roaming around the wilderness. Feral cats are big killers of our native birds in the wild, and it seems like an insurmountable problem. And I know in Canada you have the same issue with maybe 4 million wild cats roaming around the wilderness. Your cats aren't allowed to leave the property. How do you enforce that?
Yeah, so in Canada, we estimate between 1.5 million and 4 million feral cats, which is a lot. And feral cats are, they're not wild cats. Obviously, they're still the domesticated species, but they're not so friendly to people, and they're used to feeding themselves and living on their own. Now, in Nanaimo, which is on Vancouver Island, they actually introduced a bylaw that cats can't be on public property and they can't be on someone else's property without their permission. But it is a little difficult to enforce. And I think it would not really be enforced unless someone is making complaints. But if someone doesn't like their neighbour's cat coming on their property, it does give them a way to complain about that. But of course, one of the main things that we should do, and which is part of the bylaw there and in many places in Canada too, is actually to spay and neuter your cat. Because then if your cat escapes or runs away for some reason, they're not going to be producing lots more cats, because even kittens can have kittens from like 5 months of age. So if we don't spay and neuter cats, and also if we don't spay and neuter feral cats, then they're just going to keep on multiplying.
Research out of the University of Warsaw, based on a lot of DNA study done in the US, suggests that the reason we find dogs enthusiastic and welcoming and cats often mysterious and aloof is in part because cats were never actually domesticated in the same way. Do you agree?
Yes, cats don't have the same long history of domestication that dogs do. And although we don't fully understand how they were domesticated, we think that around 10,000 years ago in what's called the Fertile Crescent, so that would now be called Syria and parts of Iraq as well, wild cats started to go into places where people were living. because people were starting to grow grains like wheat, for example. And so the places where they stored those had lots of mice. And obviously, that's very attractive to a wild cat, a ready source of food. So we think that cats started to go and hang out with people. And there's some DNA research looking at diversity in pet cat DNA, and it found that there's more diversity in that part of the world, so in the Near East. So that suggests that this is probably where the domestic cat originated. And I think that's really, really fascinating. So we think they were approaching people because they wanted to be able to get food, namely to be able to catch the mice, and people were around.
This isn't really a surprise, is it? Cats and food. So the evolution has favoured cats that are less scared of humans, whereas dogs, who may have been scared of us, got by being keen to please.
Well, there's actually been some really interesting research on the genome of the domestic cat. And the first time that was sequenced was in 2014. And it's been found that there are differences between the genes of a domestic cat and a wild cat. And they especially affect behavior to do with fear conditioning and to do with the reward response. So, fear conditioning is especially to do with the sensitive period for socialization, which in kittens, in domestic kittens, is between 2 and 7 weeks. So, those differences would make the domestic cat more friendly towards people, especially if they're getting all important socialization during that sensitive period. It's worth noting, however, if kittens don't get that socialization during that time, and this is why feral cats are not so friendly to people, then they don't become friendly in that way. So that's one of the things that's really interesting about the domestic cat.
Let's talk about cats' reliance on us, but they've never needed to oblige us in the same way that dogs are expected to.
That's right. So a cat is quite capable of looking after themselves. They don't need us to house them or to feed them. They prefer it if we feed them, but they would be perfectly fine if something happened to us and they were outside. They would be able to catch their own food, whereas many dogs would actually be quite stuck. So the dogs rely on us a lot more. And as well as that, we have a lot more dog breeds, and dog breeds have been bred for specific purposes, many of them. Whereas cats, many, many more cats are actually moggies or mixed breed cats. There are far fewer breeds and far fewer people who have breeds. And some of that breeding has also made the dog have particular kinds of ways of behaving, which are different. That hasn't happened so much with the cat. So there are quite big differences in that regard between dogs and cats.
RNZ National, this is Sunday morning. I'm speaking with Dr. Zazie Todd about cats. Now, there's a suggestion, a New Scientist, that our stereotypes about cats don't stand up to scientific scrutiny often. At the University of Maine, they claim to have found that cats listen to the people in their household, but not so much to strangers. Does this align with what you've seen over the years?
Certainly, I think cats pay a lot more attention to people than people tend to realize. So we have all of these stereotypes about cats. Most of the stereotypes about cats, unfortunately, they're quite negative stereotypes and they're not really true. So certainly cats do pay a lot of attention to us, and they seem to pay more attention to their guardian or their owner, and I think that speaks to the bond that cats have with their person. And if you're a cat lover, then you know that that bond exists. But a lot of people who don't know cats very well tend to think that it doesn't for some reason.
Oh, I love what that you've just said there. I've just got a new cat and we've been together for 7 days. His name is Meatball. He's a rescue cat and he was returned to the SPCA twice because of what they've described as food aggressions. And so I wanted to get into a bit of conversation around behaviour, cat behaviour, and open this up to the listeners too. Is there such a thing as food aggression in cats?
You don't so often hear people talk about it in cats. You much more often will hear people talk of dogs resource guarding or guarding their food and being aggressive if someone approaches their food. And because of that, there's more research on it in dogs compared to looking at it in cats. So the research on dogs, first of all, for someone in your situation, it's actually very promising because dogs who have been known to resource guard when they go to a new home. Very often it doesn't happen in the new home at all. So it's something to, can be something to do with the environment that's going on there. But also with dogs, it tends to happen when people are trying to take the food away from them. It's as if the dog becomes scared that they're going to lose their resources or they're going to lose their food. And so they become quite defensive and potentially aggressive around their food. I haven't really heard of that so much happening with cats. Of course, some cats can become quite excited. My own cat, Melina, can get quite excited when I'm training her and she knows she's going to get a treat. And so she will reach out, and sometimes her claws are not in, which is unfortunate. But in general, it's not a very common problem. And I would imagine that as with dogs, if you're not taking food away from the animal, then you're much less likely to see it because they will know that they're going to get fed and that they're going to get fed perhaps at set times each day, and they're not going to be worried about where their next meal is coming from.
That's so good to hear. Yes, I haven't seen any evidence of food aggression other than just normal cat, as you put it, enthusiasm around food. Here's a question for you. Does speaking to our cats in a high-pitched voice help with communication?
Yes. So just as we tend to speak in a particular kind of way when we're talking to babies, a lot of people will speak in a high-pitched voice when they're talking to their cat or to their dog. And it's called pet-directed speech. And yes, it does seem that cats actually like this. And there's been some research that tested how cats responded to either their owner or their stranger when they're talking to them and calling their name. And they found that cats were much more attentive when they were spoken to in pet-directed speech. So when people use that high-pitched voice. So we think that they like it. But that effect was there for the owner, but it wasn't actually there for the stranger, which is quite interesting. And that maybe speaks to the importance of the bond between the cat and their person.
Also, and this has been found apparently at a university in Paris, that using your cat's name and using gestures as well when you call them works better than just saying, "Hey, kitty, kitty, kitty," or "Hey, kitty, kitty, kitty."
Yeah, here, kitty. Yes. So researchers tested what happens when they say their name, they put their hand out, or they do both of them together. And then they also had a control condition of not doing anything. And they found that cats would approach faster with when it was either just the visual, so the hand was put down, or it was a bimodal communication. So they were saying, here, kitty, and also putting the hand down. And I think that's really interesting. And this also fits with other research that we've seen about how cats like to be petted. And really, they like to have a choice. And they are very much creatures who like to be in charge of what's going on with that. So they prefer to have choice and control. And they don't like it so much if we're reaching out and petting them. They prefer to have the chance to come up to us. So if you do like the people did in this study and you call them and you put your hand down to them, they have the choice of coming up to you. And that makes any interactions with them on their own terms. And they really prefer that.
Oh, that's so interesting, because what I'm finding with Meatball, my new cat, keeping previous name, is that he pushes back really hard into me when I'm patting him. And so is that part of the control?
That's really lovely. And so cats often will rub their head on us or sometimes their whole body on us when we're petting them. And one of the things we know about cats is that they use pheromones, and we believe they're using pheromones to create a group scent. And they do this with other cats who are part of their group, and they also do this with their people who are part of their group. So when your cat Meatball rubs his head on you, he's actually depositing pheromones from the glands on his face and around his head. And those pheromones are kind of saying, you're part of my social group. And so that's what's going on there. And some cats, they really will actually press quite hard. I think it's really lovely the way that cats like to rub their head on their guardian.
Oh, that's so great to know that's what that is, because I've not actually had a cat that's done it as in such a pronounced way as Meatball. Now, cats, are they jealous? They want our attention. I'm not talking about Meatball because Meatball's new, but when cats want our attention and they're annoyed when they don't get it, is that jealousy?
It's really hard to know exactly what is going on inside the cat's brain, and so we don't actually know if cats can feel jealousy. There has been some research that looked at it, and it involved scientists petting either a toy cat or a furry cushion in front of another cat, the idea being that they might be jealous if they thought it was another cat and not if it was the cushion. But the results, they're kind of a little bit inconclusive. So we can't really conclude from that study whether or not they feel jealousy. It's possible maybe that they have the cognitive apparatus in their brain, but we don't actually really know. But cats do like our attention, and often when they want it is when we're busy doing something else. And that's also when you can get the cat who comes along and perhaps just knocks something off the sideboard or something to get your attention and to say, "Hey, I'm here. Come and have fun with me. Do something." And sometimes that can just mean that your cat needs more attention in general, because unfortunately, there are a lot of people who don't understand enough about what cats need and what they need to provide for cats. And so, if that is something that your cat is doing often, that's your cat saying, "Hey, make more time to spend with me, please."
Oh, let's keep going in this thread. What are some other behaviours that cats are demonstrating where they're trying to communicate something to us because we're not doing something they want? Obviously, food is one. We've covered that well.
Yes, so meowing for things, a lot of people will recognize when the meow specifically means that the cat wants food. The meow is really interesting because adult cats don't meow at each other. So it's like a signal they've got to communicate with us. And people can often understand their own cat, but when they've been played recordings of other cats by scientists, that's actually really hard for them to know if the cat is saying, "I want food," or "I want company and I can't get to you," or something like that. So that's an interesting one as well. Another thing that's really common is when the cat is communicating that they would like you to stop petting them right now, please, and people don't notice. So people often will pet a cat for too long, and then the cat will end up biting them or potentially even scratching them. And people can be quite puzzled by that. Like, "I thought he was enjoying it. Why did he attack me?" But often they've missed some really quite subtle signs. So that would be the tail twitching is often one of the first things to look for. If there's a little twitch at the tail and then it starts to get bigger, that's one of the signs your cat would like you to stop. Another would be if they're fixating on your hand, like they're staring at your hand, that might mean they're going to lash out at your hand in a minute to say, "Stop that." And another thing could be rippling of the skin. And that's something else that people don't notice. And that often means that the cat is quite aroused. So again, that means that the petting has been going on for too long.
Let's say someone's cat is grabbing their hand and they're stuck. What's the best advice for getting out of a cat grab, a cat attack?
The best advice is really to try to avoid it in the first place if you can. So, paying careful attention to your cat will help you to avoid that from happening. The other thing is not to let your cat play with your hands, because quite often people will let kittens play with their hands. And then as they get older, they will remember that and they will still want to play with your hand. And it's much better if they've learned to play with toys instead. So you can distract your cat, you can have a toy, or you can maybe just say their name or throw a treat or just distract them in some way. And that probably will get your hand back. But also, if you just keep completely still, they will lose interest as well. So sometimes, like if you're moving your fingers around or something, that will keep them interested. So don't do that.
RNZ National, this is Sunday morning. I'm speaking with Dr. Zazie Todd about cats. When cats are doing that thing with their paws, a friend of mine calls it kneading bread, what is going on?
Kneading bread or making biscuits. I love it when cats do that. So, this is a behavior that stems from kittenhood, and it's something that kittens do when they're nursing from the mother cat. And it's just thought that this is a behavior that then continues for the adult cat, and they will often do it in moments when they're very contented. And you'll often hear them purring at the same time. So maybe they're sitting on your lap and you're petting them, or you stop petting them because they've had enough, but they're still happy and they'll be purring and they'll be just doing that movement with their paws. And I think it's so sweet when cats do that.
It is, it's very tender. Now, one finding that will please people very much or very attached to their cats is the extent to which they like us, maybe without our knowing.
Yes, that's right. There's been some research that looks at attachment in cats and kittens. There have actually been a few studies on this. They haven't all produced the same results, but there was one really lovely version of this that did it with kittens. And they borrow something from child development research, which is called the strange situation, which is a way of looking at attachment between a child and their caregiver. And they basically do the same thing with cats. So they look at how the kitten behaved when the person leaves the room and when they come back. And basically, they seem more confident in exploring the room when their person is there. And that's showing that this kitten is having the same kind of relationship with their human as human babies do and infants do with their caregivers too. So it's what we call attachment. And a secure attachment means that you are a secure base from which they can go out and explore, and also a safe haven for them to return to if they feel stressed.
Here's a question. Putting butter on cats' feet so they don't get lost. Is that a myth? Is that a legend? Does it work?
Well, this is something that has been recommended for a long time. It's certainly something that my own grandmother used to do with her cats when they moved house. As soon as you get to a new place, butter their paws. And the idea is that the cats like the butter, so they'll lick it off their paws and they will remember that this is their place. Actually, I think if you're moving to a new home with your cat, it's important to keep them indoors for at least the first 2 to 3 weeks until you feel that they are confident and settled in their new home. So even if you're planning to give them outdoors access, keep them indoors until they know that this is their home. Because if you let them out in the first few days, it's going to be confusing for them. They haven't yet had time to put their own scent from pheromones around their own home, and they're going to feel a bit stressed and they're at risk of getting lost or not finding their way home. So, yes, if you want to butter their paws, you can do, but more importantly, keep them indoors for those first few weeks.
Now, you've talked to us before about the love that cats have for cardboard boxes, and that applies even to big cats like tigers. I'm not sure whether or not you can get boxes that big. But cat owners know that their pets also like to sit on flat pieces of paper, and there's a trick that you can play on your cat to create the illusion of a square on the floor that you can make your cat sit in a certain place.
Yeah, there's a really lovely piece of research that was done by Dr. Sarah Elizabeth Beausire and a colleague in America. And they basically did something called the Kanizsa illusion, which is where you cut bits of paper out. It's not actually a square, but you arrange them as if it makes the corners of a square. So it creates an illusion. And we know that people see this illusion. So they see a square, even though it's not there. And they tested cats to see if they would do this. And of course, because cats like to sit in boxes, if they see the square, they're likely to go and sit in it. So this was actually a citizen science project, and they put instructions on the internet for people to do. And people sent in the results of what their cat or kitten did when they saw it. And basically, cats do see this as an illusion of a square. So they will even go and sit in this imaginary box. I think it's really great. And it tells us something about the cat's visual field, which actually, in this case, is quite similar to ours.
How fascinating. If you want more affection from your cat, are there tricks? Are there things to do that build that connection up?
So, if you're wanting to pet your cat more, one of the most important things is to give them choice and control of it. So, wait for your cat to come to you. There's quite a bit of research now that shows that cats prefer it when they come to you, and pay attention to them and give them choices as well. So, you can do that by using something called a consent test. You can just stop and see. And if your cat wants more affection, then they're going to come and rub their head on you. And that would be a cue that you could pet them more. And if they ignore you or they even walk off, then they're saying, "Oh, I've had enough for now. Thank you." And the thing to remember is that although we like to grab a cat and pet them for a really long time and then we think we're done for the day, most cats actually would like short but much more frequent petting sessions. So that's something to bear in mind as well. Always give the cat a choice, keep it short, and try to do it quite often. And that's what they prefer.
When cats bring dead mice and birds into the house, what are they communicating to to us? Are they gifts, or are they showing off, or what's going on?
We don't completely understand. I think it's not so pleasant when they do this, but quite a few cats do it with dead mice. Some cats even will do it with things that they found, like from a clothesline, for example. And we know that mother cats will take prey to their kittens, and they will take prey that's not quite dead yet so that the kittens get a chance to practice killing it. So it's possible that it's part of that kind of behavior and they're still doing it as an adult cat. Another possibility is that they've brought it back to where they feel safe, especially if they're planning to eat it, that they would rather eat it in a place where they feel safe, which is probably your house rather than outside in your yard. So it could be for the cat's benefit, or it could be that they're intending it for our benefit, and we don't actually completely know about that.
When a cat suddenly goes crazy and runs full speed through the house, what's going on there?
So this is the zoomies. It's kind of funny when a cat gets the zoomies. Dogs do it too. It means they've got a lot of pent-up energy and they're just letting it out. So if this is something that your cat does from time to time, it's absolutely fine. It's not a problem. It just means your cat is using up lots of energy. My cat Melina does it too, and she'll run from one end of the house to the other and she makes a funny noise and then she zooms off back again. And it happens quite
Zazie, a
often. If you see it
university
all the
study in
time,
the
it could
UK has
perhaps be a
confirmed
sign that your
something
cat is a
that
bit
you've
bored
told
and
us
maybe you should
before,
spend a
that
bit
the
more
best way
time
of
finding
communicating
things
with a
to do with
cat
them or
is to
giving them
narrow your
opportunities to
eyes
do
and
things,
blink
but it's
slowly
just
at them.
really
What does that do?
letting out a bit of energy. This is a beautiful signal, and it's something that a lot of people who love cats just kind of pick up on and start to do naturally. And certainly, it's something I've done to cats for years. When I meet a new cat, I just gradually narrow my eyes in a slow blink. So I think it's wonderful that this was tested. Basically, scientists just went and did this to cats and looked at what they did back, and most of the cats would do a slow blink back. This is a communication signal that cats use between friends. So other cats who are friends with them, they will just do the slow blink, or often a slow blink, and then they just look away. So it's another one of those signals that shows that cats are accepting us as part of their social group. And it's something that if we do to cats, it seems that they like it. They're quite likely to respond with the same. And it just, again, it's a way to show that you're being friendly to your cat.
There are so many questions and there's so little time. What do we need to know, Zazie, about cats that we may not know yet that you've discovered recently?
I think one of the most important things that ordinary pet guardians need to know is more about what cats need. And there are things that actually scientists have known about for quite a while and feline behavior experts have known for quite a while, but it takes time to filter through. And that's partly why I wrote my book, Purr, The Science of Making Your Cat Happy. But there are so many things that people can do that are quite easy tweaks to their home that will make things better for their cat. So one of my favorite pieces of research about cats actually looks at the role of hiding places for cats. And it was a study that gave cats a choice. They put them in something called a choice chamber, and they had a choice of going to somewhere with a perch, somewhere with a hiding space, or somewhere with a toy. And cats chose to spend most of the time in the hiding space. And we used to think that this was enrichment for cats. And so now what's changed really is that we see this as a need for cats to have a hiding space. And your cat, probably Meatball, has already found places where he likes to go and hide. My cat Melina likes to go and hide in my laundry basket, especially where all my clean clothes are waiting to be ironed, and she burrows in among the clothes. But a cat's natural response to stress is to be able to run and hide. So these aren't just places to relax and chill out when the cat is happy. They're also important places where the cat can go when they need to reduce stress. And you can very easily give your cat more of these places just by giving them a cardboard box.
And there we have it. It's great speaking with you, Zazie. A real treat. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.